Right, okay. I'm here with Tony Martin. Hi, Tony. How are you doing today?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Yes, except this rainy weather, but never mind about that. Right. To start with, I'd like to ask you about your latest news that you're going to be playing a one-off show with your band Tony Martin's Headless Cross at the Asylum in Birmingham on the 27th of July. Can you tell me more about that and how it came about?
It came about because we originally had a festival date on that day over on the East Coast in Felixstowe, and the stupid promoter took on much more than he can handle and dropped the ball and cancelled the whole thing. So we were left with a date free.
Right.
But I'd already started arranging stuff for the band to travel and things like that. So I had to find a venue pretty quick. And a friend of mine, Roy, who runs the Asylum venue in Birmingham, he's the bass player of the band called Shy.
Right.
But he runs the venue, and he said, come on, mate, let's see if we can sort something out. So he invited me over there, and we went through it, and it seemed like a really good, viable proposition. So, and it was central to, like, pretty much the whole country, so we decided to take that on. That's how it came about. Tell you a bit more about it. It's a bit nerve-wracking. It's the first time I've ever done a solo concert. I've always been with somebody, either Sabbath or the Whitesnake guys, Bernie Marsden, Mickey Moody, and I've always been with somebody. I've always been a band of some kind or other playing their stuff. So this is the first time I've had a bunch of guys together that's to play my own solo things through my career in my own country, in my own town.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a bit nerve-wracking. We've got, like, in the set, we've got 17 songs, which covers about 10 albums from my career.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you what they are. it's just running through the set just before you called me, and it's awesome. It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm loving it at the moment. So, looking forward to it and a little bit nervous at the same time.
Yeah, that's understandable. Can you tell me the reason for the band name, why you chose the Headless Cross?
Well, I had a version of Tony Martin Band before with another bunch of friends that I'd worked with for a few years. And I had to stop trading with that one. We found it very difficult in the business today. The business is kind of messed up. And we had things like promoters would fly me out and then get a local band to play the musicians.
Oh, right.
And I just didn't like that. Of course, the fans know it's not your band.
Yeah.
And they don't play like your band. And
no.
You don't know where they're going to stand or who's going to smack you in the face with a machine head or what. So it's fraught with all sorts of disappointments and dangers, and it's just not right. So I stopped trying. I decided to stop touring in the end.
Right.
But then this year has been quite eventful for me. And with the release of the Cage 3 album with Dario Moller, that's really livened things up again. And so what we decided to do is put a band together and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Then if people like it and if we think we can sort of make something out of it, then we'll hopefully have a tour going next year.
Right.
But all of us have got commitments this year, so we can only do one show. It's a one-off.
Right, yeah.
We can't do any more shows this year because everybody else is doing stuff.
I see,
So that's the reason why there is only one. But hey, I mean, what I won, it's an everything, you know.
Yeah.
A unique event. So I've got the guys in the band is Jeff Nichols, who's the keyboard player with Black Sabbath. He's a very good friend of mine. I just love the bloke.
Yeah.
I think he's absolute diamond. He's just amazing. Then we've got Dario Moller on guitar. I have Danny Needham, who's been my drummer for some years, but is currently working with Venom.
Yeah.
And then Magnus Rosen, who was the bass player with a band called Hammerfall, a Swedish band, and He's like a huge, big Viking thing with a bass guitar. It's just amazing.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
A great bunch of guys, all very competent. We're going to see how that goes, and hopefully, you know, we'll get some together.
I hope so, yeah. Sounds excellent. Okay. And you've also chosen Blaze Bailey as your support. What was your reason for choosing him, and have you worked with him before?
Aha. Have you heard something? I actually have worked with him before, but I forgot.
Right.
And, when he spoke to me, he said, "You do realise I've worked with you before?" I went, yes. apparently, okay. When he was in Wolfsbane,
right.
He supported a band that I was in called The Alliance, and I just can't remember. It's escaped me. So I did apologise to him at the time. I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I just don't recall that event."
Sure.
But a lot of water's gone under the bridge since then. So we have worked together, but I'm dying to hook up with him. Everybody I speak to says we're a great bloke, and they've enjoyed what he does. But he's going to do a really special thing for us on this occasion. He's going to do an unplugged acoustic set. So that's going to be a really nice contrast to the... Tony Martin's Headless Cross thing, so I'm really looking forward to it. I might even get up with him and do something in his set. So,
Great.
You know, we're just going to try and keep it nice and friendly and as intimate as we can get it, really.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that'll be a nice treat for the fans.
I hope so.
Yeah, awesome. Right, you've already mentioned this. One of my questions was to ask about your set list, but you said that you've been preparing, but you won't... let us know anything. Can you give us any hint to any of the songs at all?
Well, no. I mean, the 10 albums that I'm covering don't go quite as far back as the very beginning of my career, but some way through it. I mean, I've worked with so many artists over the years, and I enjoy that. I mean, it keeps me alive as a musician. And before I joined Black Sabbath, I was a hugely varied musician and artist. I have a guitarist to start with.
Yeah.
But I've done everything from reggae to rock. I mean, I used to work with Musical Youth, Dexys Midnight Runners.
Really?
All sorts of people like that. And so when I joined Black Sabbath, it kind of focused me into one place, and then I got put in a box.
Yeah.
And I could get out of it then. Everybody wanted me to do the Sabbath stuff.
Yeah.
And anything else I'd done before kind of got forgotten.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go quite back that far. I'm not going to start playing reggae or anything on this set, but there are 10 albums that I think are worth noting.
Mm.
And so I'm going to cover as many as I can. It includes the Black Sabbath set. I would imagine about 70% of the show will be the 6 albums that are covered with Sabbath. Plus my own solo albums and The Cage. We have to do something with The Cage because Dario Moller's in the band.
Yeah.
Especially the new album, The Third Cage. So it's all rock orientated, and it's things that people should know me very well for.
Yeah.
And there are one or two songs that they may not know.
Right.
I think they'll be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Sounds interesting, yeah. So, with you saying that you used to play, you know, different genres of music, is that something that you'd like to do again? Have a go at doing something different?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing that now, actually. I'm just currently finished recording an album with an Italian band who are so English-sounding, it's daft.
Oh, I was going to ask you about them.
Yeah, it's a three-piece blues band. It's just bass, drums and guitar.
Yeah.
And... I've always had a problem singing blues because I'm not from that era, really. I'm a child of the 70s, and the blues, 56s, are kind of before me a little bit, so I always struggled with it. It's one of the reasons why I didn't really get on fantastically with the Whitesnake thing. But this bunch of guys do it in such a different way. It's much more English, and it's sort of Led Zeppelin-y. So, and I've been able to get a grip of that, and that's I'm surprised at just how wonderful, just beautiful music. I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that, and also I've hooked up with an opera singer.
All right.
She is just amazing. I won't say too much about it now, but if the duet comes off with that, it's going to be awesome.
Right.
Absolutely awesome. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Not me singing opera, her singing opera and me singing and putting the two together.
Yeah.
That would be stunningly beautiful. And I've also followed some of my early roots, Dan Reggae stuff. I've been working with other people.
Yeah. But
yes, I still do lots of varied things.
Right. Cool. And, so that's something to look out for then.
Yeah, in the next 2 years, this year and the next couple of years, there's a lot of Tony Martin-related stuff coming out.
Yeah.
I've also got other things in the pipeline that are more in the rock genre. There's an American guy who's just about as thrashy metal as you can get.
Yeah.
But if you put my melodic rock melodies and lyrics to it, it's got quite a twist.
Right.
So I'm, you know, hoping to get onto that. His name is Scott McClellan. And he's just a strangely productive guitar player. He can just come up with riffs instantly, within seconds, and it's just, where'd you get that from? Hey, man, have a listen to this one. Blimey. So it's quite fun working with him.
Right. How do you find these different people, then? Do you sort of just, you know, come across them through your work?
They find me.
Yeah.
Very often people come looking for me. The only problem really is that many people who are inspired by the Tony Martin era, Black Sabbath, for example, and they try to write songs in that genre, very often can't do it because they wouldn't know what I was going to sing or words I was going to say. So although they tend to think they write with me in mind, it doesn't very often come off. The ones that really attract my attention are the ones that don't pretend to be that era. They do something else, and that inspires me.
Yeah.
So then what happens is they send me a whole bunch of riffs or something like that. I either cut them up and rearrange them to suit my voice or where I need them. Send them back with a vocal line on it. If they go, woohoo, then we sort of start working on it.
Yeah.
Over the internet. I have a small vocal studio that I use here that's just fine for me to do like stuff like that.
Right.
It's vocals by post, almost.
Yeah.
over the internet. And then ultimately we try to get together to either finalize it or just tidy up the loose bits and pieces. Work like that, really.
Yeah.
I've been doing it in the past few years, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, as long as it works, then that's the...
Aye.
Great. Okay. You mentioned about your current band. They're all busy doing different things at the moment, but they're all very good friends of yours, I read. Are you planning on doing some more recording with them as a group?
I'd like to. I've got other solo albums that I'd like to do. I started one called The Book of Shadows, which was about, you know, all the things during your life. But that was going to be like a power acoustic thing. But as I said, the music business is so messed up. I mean, you still have to pay the bills. The Black Sabbath thing never made me a millionaire, and it never will. And so you still have to pay the bills. And so when something comes up that, you know, it brings money in, then things like your solo work stops.
Yeah.
So things get put to one side. And I do hope to revisit all those things. And maybe the guys in the band would... or could be part of that.
Yeah.
I would hope so. Alternatively, I do have a thought that maybe it's possible to run two or three different projects alongside each other.
Right.
So you could have a live band, you could have a recording band, and you could be working on a project at the same time. So I would like to do it that way, but they could all merge and mix into one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're certainly good enough. God damn it. The only thing is, I mean, Jeff's, bless his heart, I mean, he's got his bus pass now, so he's not the youngest dude on the planet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's lovely, and he's always up for something, so...
Great.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Oh, fingers crossed. I hope you can finish those other projects. It would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I read that you damaged your voice when you were younger. What kind of exercises do you need to do to keep it healthy these days?
Oh, yeah, I really damaged it. And I damaged it in only the way a young person can. by screaming the heck out of it until you lose your voice.
Right.
And then you wait for it to come back.
Yeah.
So many young people do that. And when I listen to it now, I just cringe. I just think, oh, my God. Because it really does mess it up. I have to work really hard now to keep my voice going. And it still works, but
yeah.
I have to do ridiculous amounts of exercise and stuff, vocal exercises and that. And,
really?
I've been to various hospitals. You know, you have the camera thing down your throat to see your voice working. And they say, there's nothing wrong with the structure of your voice and your vocal cords. There's no nodules and stuff like that. And it's just, you know, you got to keep working it.
Yeah.
Which is one of the hardest things to do. If you're not on the road and you're not working it, then you have to try and do it at home, and that's boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do a lot now, but I really, really messed it up. And, of course, as you get older, it takes longer for your voice to heal.
Right.
So when I was young, yeah, I could lose my voice, and it'd be kind of back the next morning, and then I'd go thrash it again. And
yeah.
Just keep messing it up. But that's what you do when you're young. And you know, I wish they wouldn't somehow. I mean, I listen to some of the things on the radio. There's one specific band. I can't remember the name right off hand. But the singer is quite obviously frying his voice. And I'm just listening to it and thinking, oh, no, you're going to last about 5 or 6 years doing that.
Yeah.
And you're going to be really struggling, and you won't hear of him again. But it is a danger when you're young.
Yeah, I don't suppose you think, do you, really?
Of course you don't. It's rock and roll. You're not supposed to think of rock and roll. Just get up there and yeah. But if you could think about it, like Ronnie James Dio, for example, he was classically trained. He did, like, all the opera stuff.
Yeah.
And so he went about it the right way. But I think that was default because of his situation when he was young. I don't think it was because... he became a rock singer and then thought, ooh, I better look after my voice. I think he just started the correct way.
So
he was one of the few that sort of was able to go much longer than most of us.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the us's that messed it up. So I have to work now.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope it keeps working.
Yeah. I mean, and there are little things you can do. You can detune, the band can detune a half a tone or a tone that helps with the notes. As you get older, of course, the higher range starts to decrease.
Yeah.
So you can do simple things like the band can detune, which sounds even heavier, to be honest, when you detune it.
Yeah.
And you can take lower harmonies. You don't have to sing the highest note that you used to do when you were 17.
Yeah.
You can take a lower third or a fifth, and, you know, one of the other guys can take the high note, whatever. You can get through it, and it's all part of the theatre and...
You've mentioned, obviously, you've done lots of other solo work. You've recorded previous solo albums. So how come this is your first solo performance in the UK? Was there a reason why you didn't tour with your previous work?
Well, I wanted to. I just wasn't able to get it together. Like I said, I was always with somebody else.
Yeah.
And that tended to take the limelight off what I was doing. I could never really get to a point where I'd got the guys in the right place at the right time with music that was out at that current moment and the business being able to cope with us being out on our own. So I've been unfortunate in so many ways and so unlucky in so many ways in that... Well, for a start off, none of my albums are on sale anymore. So all of the Sabbath stuff got deleted.
Yes, and I read that.
The solo albums got deleted through companies going bankrupt or whatever.
Yeah.
Which has left me with no product on the market apart from the Cage thing. That's the only thing that's out. And I've been on 30 albums.
Oh, that's terrible.
And so the other 29 don't exist.
Yeah.
It's just frightening.
Yeah.
So it's a very unfortunate circumstance, and my life has been kind of upside down in so many different ways. I mean, I was quite reasonably young when I joined Sabbath, and then being put in front of a big, well, one of the most famous band names on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally inexperienced.
Yeah.
No idea what I was doing, and and they sort of just dragged me around the world, and I just got to sing all those albums, which is a very strange thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. It must have been really quite hard, I suppose.
It was hard. It was also very nerve-wracking. It was scary in some ways and sometimes. The enormity of the beast that you were dealing with. Mm. And, of course, also the separation. I mean, those guys are 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
So our friends' circles didn't really cross either. Their friends, it was like your dad's friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
The circles didn't mix that well. So we weren't, like, great buddies. I thought we were friends, but, we weren't, like, great buddies or anything. So it was all very disjointed and, I still got on with it and did it.
Yeah.
We ended up with, like, 6 albums with Sabbath that turned out quite good, man.
Yeah. Did it get easier for you over time then, those difficulties?
No, it never did get easier. No. I mean, they decided to do a thing with Ronnie James Dio. You probably know the dehumanized thing.
Yeah.
They weren't getting on with him well at that point, and so they called me up and asked me to go back again, which I couldn't because I was doing my solo album, Back Where I Belong. Mm. And then they called me again to go back, which then I did. And then they'd called me back once after that when they were doing the Aussie thing. But, because you're always waiting for the next phone call with some kind of bad news in it or other, it never made it easy. It never made it easy.
No.
Always trying to read between the lines with Black Sabbath. They never really talk to your face. You find out through other people, which is weird.
Right. Okay, so staying on those lines, what are your opinions on the reunion and the exit of Bill Ward?
I don't get it. I really don't get it. You know what? I'll tell you why. Because all of the years, and my years with Sabbath span 10 years, all of the years that I were with them, and you just know that I've heard all the stories. I can't tell you what they are, but I've heard them all.
Yeah.
And I know them really well, inside out almost, because of the things. And they've all spoken, and not once did they ever speak badly of Bill.
Yeah.
They love him. And he's one of the original members. And that's why I don't get it, is because they never had a bad thing to say about him. They've always rated him. Mm. He's had his little moments, like we all have, I mean, them included, and they've either been in circumstances or situations or whatever, but basically they love him, and I don't quite understand why they didn't give him time to get his thing together. He may have been out of the band for a long time, but set up some rehearsals or something and go and help him out. You know, he's one of the brothers of the band, so I just don't quite... It seems a bit like a publicity stunt in that they're saying, we can't be bothered to go and do any rehearsals to get him to learn, like, all the stuff again, so let's keep him for another time so we can have another reunion later on. A bit like a publicity stunt in that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I wasn't privy to any of the conversations, and I haven't seen the contracts that they were talking about, so...
No, of course.
I can't say for sure, but I just don't get it.
Yeah. Okay.
Bill's a lovely guy, by the way. I mean, he's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay. You've worked with so many people, as you said, over the years. Do you have a favourite time and favourite artist that you worked with?
Always the current one is, and everybody says that, more or less. Everybody says the current one is the one that you enjoy the most. And the Silver Horses thing, the blues thing, is just really, really exciting for me at the moment. But if I think about the past, let me think. There are moments in all of them that I can identify that I was really happy and chuffed. But they've always fallen alongside the ones that are just the moments that are really crap, to be honest. So,
yeah.
I've sort of had a really mixed... There's not been one period that's been continuously great.
Right, yeah.
I've had... fantastic moments with Sabbath, really cool moments with the Whitesnake guys and real stuff. I've worked with John Sykes and all sorts of people.
Just
all over the place.
Yeah. So back to the Silver Horses, when is that album due the release?
Silver Horses is out September, I believe. The end right. of September.
Okay.
It's finished. The artwork's done. I think they're just presented to their management in Germany and their record label in Germany, which is Seven Hard, I think is the label.
Yeah.
In Germany. So that should be released September, and hopefully we'll be able to do a couple of appearances with that as well.
Yeah. Oh, great. Want to look out for them. Okay.
It is. It's a different style for me, though. The blues thing, like I said, it's not been traditionally where my voice has been, so I've had to get a grip of that. But I'm enjoying it thoroughly, and the songs are just they're great, and some of them are quite funny.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay. And I don't know if you listen to much music. Have you discovered any new bands that you like recently at all?
Well, I tend to like everybody until they do something I don't like. I don't have TV in my house by choice. Everything is radio orientated, so I listen all the time. The radio's on and listening, flicking through the channels and doing whatever. So I do really like some of the newer bands that have appeared in the past years. Until they get monotonous or they do something you don't like, I think you should listen to everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you should limit yourself to one thing. I can rate everything from Foo Fighters, Radiohead, through classical stuff. I'm just a very open-minded musician who loves music in general and listen to everything.
Yeah.
And I'll just take little influences from here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
I think that's come from being a child of the 70s. If you think about the 70s, I'm not even going to ask you where you are as a child, but I was a child of the 70s. And we had things like, well, not only Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath, but we had T-Rex.
I love T-Rex. Rubettes.
We had, what else did we have? Sweet. We had all sorts of that stuff. And so, and there was no other band like the Sweet, or there was no other band like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So you didn't have sound-alikes. You used them.
Yeah.
So you had a really focused area. Each band that popped up was, like, unique. So we were kind of forced to listen to all those things, and that did send us in a good direction, I think, because we were musically fed.
Oh, great. Yeah, cool. Anyway, I was born in 1970, so I was just slightly too young for those bands. But
wow.
But I do like them. I mean, I love the glam, you know, T-Rex and Sweet. I think they're fantastic, yeah. I needed to have been born a bit sooner.
Yeah, I had hair then.
Okay.
That's right.
As a final word, do you have a message for the people listening to this interview?
No, not particularly. I mean, obviously the intention really was to support the show that we were doing in 3 weeks' time. We'd love to see everybody up. We'd actually love to ram it full and, you know, get everybody in there and make a real party out of it.
Yeah.
We understand times are hard and that there have been loads of festivals scattered about around the same time, so we kept the ticket price low. It's about 10 quid or something like that.
Oh, wow.
The only thing we're doing is putting photo restrictions on it because we're aiming to video this show because it's a one-off special unique event.
Yeah.
We're asking people to honour that. But apart from that, there's nothing really much I can say about the show. You're going to have to be there to see it, to be part of it.
Yeah,
And as far as the Tony Martin-related stuff is concerned, just keep listening out for it. And I'm big on Facebook. I'm always up and chatting away on there. So if you keep your ears and eyes open, you should find out what I'm doing from time to time and be able to follow it. Hopefully, they'll be able to pick up on what I'm doing.
Yeah, okay.
I understand not everybody's going to get into everything, but, you know, it's worth looking at.
Definitely, yes, yes. Well, I hope the show goes really well for you. I'm sure it will.
Yes, me too. And we'll do our best.
Yeah. Shame I can't get down there, but hopefully another time.
All right.
Right, well, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, and yeah, have a great day. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Madison.
See you then. Okay, bye.